belongs to the service of God. Don't hold back your praise. You better open up your mouth. Don't hold back your hands. You better clap them and wave them. Don't hold back your heart. You better give it over to him, because it's all for the service of God. Come on and shout yes. You're wondering why I keep getting defeated, because you got something that belongs to God. Take what is God's and offer it back to him. What belongs to God? Romans 12:1. I beseech you, brethren, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Somebody say yes. Anybody here? Say, I'm going to give him what belongs to him. I can't hold back. I won't hold back. Here I am. I give myself away. Say yeah. Say yeah. Say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 5. We want to commence reading at verse 17. St. John, chapter 5. Recorded are these words. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Verse 19 says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, like Father, like Son. I think what a fitting word today that we have as we celebrate this day set aside for fathers to honor them as the word of the Lord gives us heed to do. And certainly, again, we appreciate the role in the ministry of fathers all over this world, because it is an awesome role with great responsibility and accountability connected with it. And we see in this text today how Jesus observes his father and sees what ought to be the role of every father. And one of the things as we enter into the text that we might want to note about this father is the fact that, one, he was conscious of his walk before his son. Conscious. Second thing about this was he was clear about the work that he did. Clear about the work. But then also when we keep reading, we're going to find out that he was very compassionate and caring about his son. And that's important too, because when we understand how important the role of fatherhood is, it brings about a whole lot to the light of understanding that must be adhered to in order to be the kind of father that is exemplary, as this word is about God, our Heavenly Father, for our natural fathers. Look again at what the word says. Jesus is dealing with, again, this issue of this man being restored on the Sabbath day. And the Jews are always looking for a reason to get to him, and they find one. And Jesus is making a statement here that is important in the 17th verse when he says, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Now, what Jesus was saying to them was, divinely speaking, God is at work, or his will is at work, and what he has set dispensationally in order is following the flow of his divine plan. Because the Father set everything up and organized it and then placed it so that it would come to the fruition in its fullness of time, he says, because he has done his job, it's imperative that I do mine also. Amen. He says, hitherto the Father works, and I do also. Now look at this. Verse 18 says, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now, one of the things in the 17th verse that Jesus does is he observes his father. Observation is important. One of the things that fathers must know, must understand, that whether you are conscious of this reality or not, as God was, your children are watching you. They are watching you far closer and more intensely than you might know. They're watching you in your demeanor. They're watching you in your delivery. They're watching you in your actions. They're watching you in your attitude. They're watching you in every conceivable way, because as they watch you, they begin to shape their lives around the most powerful figure within the home structure, and it is the father. And so even as they watch you, both boys and girls, boys want to be like their fathers. Girls want a man like their father. If he's the kind of father that shows the example that God does. Now this is important, because at this point, and maybe a whole lot of us may not realize it, that whether you want to know it or not, fathers, your role model. Yeah. And the first role model your child sees is you. And even as this is the reality, whether you're cognizant of this or not, the truth of the matter is, no matter what other role models come into the lives of your children, you make the first impression. That's why when you deal with certain women and in counseling and so forth, their disrespect or lack of respect for men most time hems from the relationship or lack thereof from their fathers. The level of respectability that comes for a man usually is a byproduct of the level of respect they have for their fathers. And one of the things that is so important, and you must realize this as well, when a child, a woman especially, is in a relationship and the father has been no good, The husband has so many hurdles to come over and cross over before he ever gets to level playing ground because of all of the bad things that were put and placed in the life of that daughter while growing up. And then what you've got to deal with young men, when they see their father act and interact with their mother, when they see their father curse or disrespect their mother, when they see their father beat or hit or call their mother out of their name, when they see their father handle their mother like that, it says to them, this is the way you ought to do it. And so then good women have issues with men who appear to be good until the curtains are pulled down or until the reality of what they grew up with becomes a part of their relationship. And so fathers must recognize that you've got an awesome responsibility to your sons and to your daughters. It's important, again, I've said so many times before, that even regardless of whether you have a son or a daughter, the example you set is one that most times will be adhered to with a greater adherence than you know of. It may seem that there's a period where they're not paying attention. It may seem like there's a period where they don't care, but I promise you, all of those lessons are being stored underneath the skin, and good or bad, they're coming back again. Jesus, in verse 17, has a keen observation of his father. My father worketh hitherto, even now, and I work. Jesus is saying, because my father works, I work. I don't have a lazy father, so therefore, I'm not lazy. What my father is doing, I also must do. And he's clear about that. But now, verse 19 says something a little different. Because 19 brings in another level of involvement. First level of involvement was observation. Second level of involvement is imitation. Look at what he says. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. In other words, he doesn't know how to do anything outside of the way that his father teaches him, shows him, shares with him how it ought to be done. His father lays the groundwork. His father lays the mold. His father gives the directions and the instructions. So he says he doesn't know how to do anything of himself, but what he seeth, observeth the Father, what? Now notice the word says do and not say. Because fathers, I don't care how much you say to your children, do this. The truth of the matter is what's going to make more of an impact and impression upon their own hearts and spirits is when they see you do. How many times have you given someone instructions or children instructions and you say, do this such and such and do it like this and such, and they don't get it? And you say, wait a minute, look, this is how you do it. And you get there and you do it, and then they get to see you do it, and then how they come behind you, and it's all made the more clear. You see, a whole lot of times folk have verbal, but they don't have visual. And when you've got verbal and visual, you've got victory. And so when the father says, now this is how I want you to do this, son, you do it like this and you do it like that. And then when you're directing and instructing, it makes the lesson clearer and easier to follow. So Jesus imitates him. Look at what he says. He says, the son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the father do. For what things soever he, the father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Most sons who smoke.
All right.
Smoke because it looked manly.
Yes.
Father, as soon as he get through eating, he lighten up a cigarette. Yeah. I mean, you just think that's where it ought to be. After dinner, you ought to have a cigarette.
Yeah.
You know, if he sees his father drink, you know, he think it's cool. It's manly. Daddy drinks. Gets him we don't drink martinis like talking about, but I guess a beer or whatever the drink of preference might be. He sees his father drink and so forth. No, he thinks that's manly. You know, whatever it is he sees his father do. How many fathers pray in the presence of their children, their son? How many fathers say to their sons, listen, let me pray. And they actually go into it about this decision, or pray with their son or their daughter about a decision, or that they seek God in a way that says, okay, when I make this final decision, it's going to be because God has given me this okay to do it this way, where they literally lean on God. What father shows a child the example of leaning and trusting on God in situations so that when father is no longer in place, that the child will imitate what father did when he or she was in place to see their father, and see how, you know, when things got tough and daddy had a problem, he would go on his knees and go to father, and when he'd come back, you could see that he had had a conversation and a connection with God, so much so that he knew the answer, and whether we felt it was right or wrong, he went with it. And every time God stepped in and showed out, you know, what kind of examples are we setting? What Jesus says is, what I see my Father do, I do also. And this is a helpful, holy hint to fathers in the earth realm to understand that so as it is in heaven, so should it be on earth. Conscious of your walk. Now, he's clear about his work. Let's move forward. Verse 20 makes something else clear, because the son appreciates the love for his father. So there's appreciation in verse 20 for the love that he knows his father has for him. Look at what it says. For the father loveth the son. Man, what powerful words those are. When the son can say, I know my daddy loves me. When the daughter can say, I know my daddy loves me. Listen at this. The father loveth the son. And don't forget who's talking here. The son. Nothing is more clear to the child that his father loves him or her than to have the experience that brings this to a conclusion, that daddy did or does what he does because he loves me. Even loves me enough not to let me have my own way. Loves me enough to set a structure and a standard that is elevated, and one that keeps me reaching forward and upward to be or to become the best that I can be. A father who wants my love but is not interested in me liking him as a friend. Who's not interested in whether or not it feels good to me when it's right for me. Who's not going to allow the whining and crying to sway his decision for what is right, because what he knows is spoiled little girls grow up to be spoiled women. And fathers, be careful how you spoil your daughters, because you might have them for life. You've got to do all things decently and in order, and keep all things in perspective. And so all of this comes as a result of knowing the love, and knowing that the love is aligned with the word, the will, and the way of God the Father. Look again at what he says. For the Father loveth the Son. And look at what's connected with love. Showeth him all things that himself doeth. When the son reaches a certain age, and at every level and every stage, the father shows the son what is age appropriate. Shows the son at this age what he ought to be doing, how he ought to be developed, how he ought to define his life, how he ought to know how to act and interact in certain situations, certain circumstances with people. As he grows older, the father recognizes another level of maturity has come. So now he's ready to know this and to learn how to operate this. Ultimately, it reaches the point that he comes into the knowledge of understanding how the father operates, so that he can have the same plan of operation to have the success that he ought to have, because he has learned and followed the disciplines and the directives of the father, and he has openly disclosed to him the things that make for a successful man and a successful father. Now, these are some of the things that Jesus is showing and sharing with us, so that we would understand how this principle, like father, like son, works. Father, there are some things you are responsible and and accountable for showing your sons. If you love them, you've got to show them how to act, how to interact, how to strive, how to make things happen, how to be able to be in control of their own decisions and their own destiny. Fathers have got to show the sons some things that fathers are responsible for. Do you know it takes a father to show a boy how to be a man? And it is the responsibility of the father, not the mother, but the father, to do so. And so Jesus is bringing this out and making this clear. The word says again, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Meaning when the right time comes, God's going to speak to Jesus. Jesus is going to show those who observe how he and his Father are one and how they operate. So notice here again, verse 21 through verse 23 shows you the operation of the Father. After verse 20 tells you about Jesus' appreciation for the love of the Father, and verse 19, the imitation of the Father, and verse 17, the observation of the Father. Look at what the word says, 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. In other words, the same power that the Father operates in, he has given his Son that same ability to do the same thing. Because the Father, who is divine and sovereign, has willed to give his Father, his Son, as a father would, the power to be able to act on his behalf, who is made in his express image, it doesn't make sense for him to look like him and can't act like him.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes.
To say you look like your father but can't do nothing like him. So he empowers his Son to be able to do like him. Now Jesus is making this clear, and because he uses and utilizes the power as the Father will or wills, he then is given more responsibility. See, fathers need to understand and recognize, too, that in order for them to make their sons more responsible, they've got to give them more responsibility. But when you give responsibility, there's also accountability connected with it. And so in order to make him all that he ought to be, you need to continuously upgrade the responsibility until he is able to assume full responsibility for his life and the making of his own life. You need to give him everything necessary to equip himself for the success of life. Here's what you need to know. If he is driven, if he has the desire to succeed, what you are unable to give him, he will seek out elsewhere. Listen at this. He says, verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Father knows judgment, and he has so invested in his Son the realities of judgment and how it ought to be done fairly and with all righteousness, so much so now he says, Son, you're ready to handle this judgment. Let me give this to you. You take care of that, because he has watched him grow, develop. He has seen how he has risen to the occasion of righteousness, of maturity. And so God, his Father, places in his hand all of the judgment realities. Now that's a major step. In other words, whatever Jesus judges, the Father says, okay.
All right. Yes, sir.
Now let me tell you how that helps you out. Because if Jesus justifies me, the Father will not disjustify me or unjustify me. He will not throw out the judgment that his Son has made. And that's so important for you to understand.
plan, because when he sent him down here to be the propitiation, when he sent him down here to make amends, when he sent him down here to be the price of the ransom, when he sent him down here to stand in your place and in my place, he figured if he could go down and do the warring, if he could stand in our place and do for us what we could not do for ourselves, he ought to be the one who brings forth the judgment. After all, he is the one who came down and took on human flesh and blood. After all, he is the one who has identified with our passions and our pain. After all, he do know what it feels like to bleed. He do know what it feels like to hunger. He do know what it feels like to thirst. Yes, he does understand our troubles and our trials. Yes, he understands our frustrations when we are persecuted and when we are picked on. Yes, he does know what it feels like to be lied on and misused and abused. Yes, if anybody can judge the situation, the Father says, son, it's in your hand. And that's why I like the song when it says, nobody knows the troubles. I say, nobody knows like Jesus. Listen, not only that, but he is able to identify with every temptation and situation I come into, and he has done it yet without sin.
Hallelujah.
And so with that kind of reality, he is the one worthy to judge me. Not even the Father in all of his wisdom and with all of his greatness could judge me like Jesus. Father who made this world never walked.
All right.
But Jesus did. Jesus walked on the same ground. He stood up in heaven and helped his Father create. Jesus ate of the same fruit that he and his Father spoke into existence. Jesus was the very one who was in two places, in the heavenlies when it all started and down on earth at the fullness of time. And he's coming back again to bring to himself and the Father all of us who he has given the chance to receive life eternal. And so the Father puts judgment in his hand. And look at what he says. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And Jesus makes clear, because I honor my Father and I do all of those things that are honorable in his sight, I have every right to expect honor in myself and honor for myself, because I have honored him who has honored me to come down and stand in a place that no one else could stand in. And Jesus said, I do always those things which please my Father. Listen at this. I do always. Now you've got to realize when he said this that he was 30 plus years old, and he said, I do always. Well, as I close, I'm trying to tell you, you never get too old. Yeah, you might have your own house. Yeah, you might have your own bills. Yeah, you might be your own man, your own woman. But you never get to the point where you're too old to honor your Father. Now, one of the things that Jesus is making clear is this, and I really want you to hear this. He says, verse 23 again, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Again, no clearer is the reality of like Father, like Son. You cannot say you honor God the Father and dishonor his Son. You cannot say that you love the Father and do not love his Son. You cannot say that you please the Father and please not the Son, because the Father and the Son are one. And I've got news for you.
If you seek to please the Father, it is clear that you will imitate the Son. And when you please the Father by imitating the Son, who has given us a perfect example, then you too will be honored by the Father and the Son, and also stand in the same reality of being worthy of honor among all men.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program.